Good morning. This is Community Speaks. I'm Brady Safranik. Community Speaks is brought to you by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street. And joining me this morning with the Gatchel Museum is Jennifer Romanowski. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Thank you for having the museum here.
Absolutely. We always enjoy it when you guys come in. You've always got so much going on, especially this time of year. And coming up shortly is the cemetery tours.
Yes, we're very excited. I mean, it's a big draw for our community members. This program is open to anyone who wishes to attend them, but they're geared specifically more towards our locals because they're the ones that have the connections, so to speak, with our spirits. For those of you who are new or just have never heard of the program, these are nighttime lantern tours at Willow Grove Cemetery. We are very pleased and happy that the cemetery district and the cemetery staff at Willow Grove support our program 100% year after year. We offer special non-walking tours on Wednesday where you're welcome to bring a chair set up right near the front of the cemetery and the spirits come to us. And then our traditional walking tours in the cemetery are on Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays. This year they're going to be August 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th, as well as August 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th. Yes, the first week of cemetery tours happens to be during Longmire days. We already had this scheduled before Longmire's was scheduled. We always do it the second and third kind of weekends in August, simply so it doesn't conflict with fair and rodeo in the beginning of the school year. The great thing is they're all volunteers. We work extremely hard. We actually start planning the program starting in January. That's when I start sending out emails to participants in the past, attendees who have expressed interest in participating and ask for their availability. And then they essentially have until June to pick someone from three categories. The great thing is there's such a wealth of information in all of the individuals buried at Willow Grove Cemetery. So I ask our participants to pick from three categories, okay? Very simple. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. One, they have to be buried there.
Oh, that's okay? A good one.
It's kind of an oxymoron. Two, they can portray someone who is not buried there but has a significant Johnson County history. You know, they had the indecency to move away or be buried up in Sheridan, you know. So, or, you know, their life took them elsewhere and they're buried somewhere out of state. For instance, this would be examples of Delilah Sonnesberger. She's buried in Sheridan. Same with Sam Stringer. He's buried in Sheridan. Frank Canton, very prominent, well-known sheriff here in Johnson County. He's buried, I believe, in Oklahoma. So those are just some of the examples. They still have a significant Johnson County connection, but they're just not buried there.
Sure.
And we call them visitors.
Okay.
Visiting spirits.
They're visiting so that mm-hmm. so that they can take part in this.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that portray these spirits, they probably have to kind of practice this for quite a while before. Because I've been to this event and you know, they sit there and they give you the whole speech. And I don't know that I've ever seen one with, you know, a paper in their hand reading anything.
No, they have to perform in character as an individual.
Yeah.
For some of them, we guide them to some potential spirits that they can do, but they all pick their spirits. We don't tell them, all right, you're going to do Jim Gatchel.
Okay.
Or you're going to do Frank Canton. No, it's what they are interested in and who they are interested in portraying. So that's why in the past, they have a third option for portraying of spirits, and that is what we call an archetype. This is kind of a general class of individuals who have made a significant impact in Johnson County, but we call them our anonymous individuals. So we've done in the past an anonymous miner, an anonymous cowboy, a crazy woman, a woman of the plains, a mourning mother. This year we have an example of that with Marcy Schuler playing an anonymous nurse. She's gonna, from what she has told me, she's really excited about it. She's portraying a nurse who has seen the beginning of some of the home hospitals that started out here in Johnson County with you visit the homes, and that's where you got your care from the doctors. Or you know, if you were giving birth, you would do it at these home hospitals. And then the transition into what was now Johnson County Healthcare Center today.
So like in that situation, when she's just playing an anonymous nurse, basically nobody specific, but that's, you know, she's going to kind of tell you what those nurses at that time were doing.
Correct, with a lot of local history involved.
Okay.
The wonderful thing is like you said, they have to put a lot of work into doing the research, writing their scripts, and memorizing it, essentially. If you're performing as a couple, which is what Mike and Marcy Scarlett have done in the past, and they're playing another couple this year with Helena and Frank Sales, they get up to 10, 11 minutes of presentation time, which doesn't sound like a whole lot, but when you're actually having to memorize it and perform it, it is a lot. It's essentially like a one-act play, so to speak. If you're performing as an individual, then you get up to 7, 8, 9 minutes. We're a little flexible. We try not to go too long, but if there's such a lot of information, we haven't had too many complaints in the past of any speeches being too long.
Sure.
Which is a nice, you know, not a good, it's a nice not to have that problem, so
absolutely.
To speak. What's wonderful is many of these spirits, they go to the family directly if they know of any local descendants in town. And we have always had really good rapport with many of the families whose ancestors are going to be portrayed. For instance, 1 year, Pepper Williams was portraying Ruth Holland Cook.
That was the one I went to. I saw that one. She does a very good job.
And the family lent her one of Ruth Holland Cook's aprons to wear as a part of her costume. And then another time, Penny Laird played a relative of hers, Elizabeth Grubb, and she actually wore one of her aprons for her presentation as the spirit.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so the family is always super excited to have an ancestor portrayed. We try really hard to get the news out early enough so that the family members and the community members know who's going to be portrayed.
Sure. And, you know, one of the things you mentioned earlier is that you allow them to pick their own spirit they want to portray. And that probably bodes well for them in the fact that they have an interest in it. Whereas if you just say, go with this person, they may not have an interest in that person like they would someone that they get to choose. So it might be a little easier for them to do all the research and memorize the presentation.
Mm-hmm. The only kind of restriction that we place on them is their time restriction. But in addition, they're only allowed to perform their spirit for up to 2 consecutive years. Because, again, there's such a wealth of information in Willow Grove Cemetery, and we try really hard to make sure that we have a continually rotation of new spirits visiting with us. And this year, the majority of our spirits are all new this year.
Okay. And if people want to check out the cemetery tours this year, how can they go about getting tickets?
Well, we have the flyers around town, and we're very active on social media about any updates that are occurring on towards the cemetery tours. So we do limit each tour to about 25 to 30 people, specifically because any bigger, it makes it much harder to gather around the headstones at night. We know we're very respectful, and we are appreciative of the fact that the cemetery district, and again, the cemetery staff, you know, make sure the sprinklers are off, the grass is mowed, the lawn or the roads are, you know, the potholes are filled, and they do a really good job of maintaining it for us. I mean, not just for us, but for everyone in general, that we try to be very respectful and appreciative of their decision. We stick on the roads. We don't wander among the headstones and show any disrespect to the deceased.
Sure.
So we have found that any more than 30, and it makes it much harder to hear and really get the ambiance of what we're trying to portray.
Okay.
This is not a leap out from behind the headstones, spooky kind of Halloween-esque terror thing. It's not the time or the place for it. So we're very respectful, and it's just a really great way to combine theater with history and prevent, you know, respectful, entertaining, educational, but, you know, really fun tours.
I would imagine the people appreciate that they turn off the sprinklers.
Yeah, that's very appreciative. The tickets can be bought at the museum. They're $25 a piece. We don't restrict by age. But just, we encourage parents, if they want to bring their kids, to just let them know. It is usually from about 8:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. at night. So we've had some children who've come with strollers, and they've been fantastic. And we've just had some that have been a little crabby, just
sure,
because it's late. We've had individuals come in the past that have used scooters, and that's worked well for us. So, but that's also why we started offering the non-walking tours on Wednesday night. This should be about our fourth or fifth year doing them, specifically to reach that audience that doesn't feel that they want to or can do the full 2 hours walking.
Sure. All right. So people go ahead and get tickets for that, and you can just contact the museum about that.
Can I share our cast?
Absolutely.
I'm really excited about our
Definitely.
Cast. Okay. So we have, again, our anonymous nurse with Marcy Schuler. Mark Bentley is going to portray William Ernest Eater. He was a World War II flying ace pilot, and he is one of those individuals who is not buried here, so he's going to be visiting his family. His parents is buried here. He has a long Johnson County connection here. Amy Pearson is playing Juliet Hart. She's another example of a visiting spirit. She's buried out east. She happens to be the wife of Colonel Verlaine, or I don't remember what his rank was, but he was Verlaine Hart, and he was the commander at Fort McKinney.
Okay.
When he died in the 1890s, she inherited his Desert Land Claims Act, which just so happened to cover the entire town of Buffalo. So a lot of the founding Buffalo families here realized that they had to pay Juliet Hart to stay on land that they had built houses and businesses on. In my opinion, a savvy businesswoman, but she didn't endear herself to the Buffalo community here. Steve Raza is playing Henry Rothwell. This is an example of he performed as Henry Rothwell last year, so this will be his last year performing. He did such a fantastic job last year. I mean, they all do a fantastic job. So we like having some of our returning spirits in case people didn't have a chance to visit them last year. Francina Russell is going to play Crazy Woman, the legend of Crazy Woman. Gene Yerdy is going to play Frank Gerard, the legendary Indian scout. Donna Creditor is going to play Nettie Wright. Jessica Knight is going to play Alice Carr Embry. Mike and Marcy Scarlett again are going to play Frank and Helena Sales. Myself, I'm going to play Claire Gatchel Quale. And I'm really excited because we've done Jim Gatchel in the past. And I thought it would be really interesting to play one of his daughters. She was the one daughter who went into pharmacy, and it was her and her husband that ran the Gatchel Pharmacy after Gatchel's death. So I thought it might be interesting to talk about the Gatchel Drugstore post-museum, post-Gatchel's life, and I'm very excited about that. Kim Harvey is going to play Verna Berger Davis, and then Lindy Urshebeck is going to play Erwin Curly Witzel.
Okay. So it sounds like a full cast.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Very excited. Again, tickets are $25. We do encourage you to register ahead of time and get your tickets ahead of time. One, because I don't particularly like to gather money at night in the dark at the cemetery. And also because, again, we do fill up very quickly.
Sure. All right, so check all that out. And in another couple things we're going to talk about here this morning, you've got a program coming up on the Blizzard of 49.
Yes, we're very excited. We are partnering with several other institutions in this area. Sylvia is the primary contact for him. We're still finalizing it, but we're very excited. It's going to be on August 29th, which is a Wednesday. It's going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. We're still determining the location. This is going to be part of his speaking tour. This is James Fuller, and this is based off of the PBS special on the blizzard of 1949 that was mentioned in the Buffalo Bulletin a couple of months or even a year ago. We're very excited because it was such a prevalent and kind of important event. A lot of people remember where they were in 1949. The Mikeys have some wonderful memories from down in KC of where they were when the blizzard of 1949 happened. And we're very excited to partner with these other institutions. I don't think there's going to be a cost right now for it, so it's going to be a free program. And he's going to be, I believe, in Gillette, in Buffalo, and Sheridan as well. So there's several different opportunities to view the presentation if you can't make Wednesday, August 29th.
Okay.
But we're going to be a co-sponsor of that program.
All right. And then over at the museum, you're on to your summer hours. Tell us about that and talk a little bit about what people can find inside the museum and inside the museum store.
Yes, if you haven't had a chance to visit the museum, we do have our new 2018 exhibition up on display currently. That is called A Snapshot in Time, Fort McKinney Scrapbook, and it's based off of a scrapbook that was revealed to us that was located at the University of Kansas Spencer Research Library. The library was fantastic to work with. They gave us permission to replicate the scrapbook and display the images. It's from kind of the height of Fort McKinney. Fort McKinney was established in about 1877. Its current location, which is the Veterans Home, was established about 1878. And the fort was decommissioned about 1895. We think these pictures, there's not a lot of information attached to them regarding who took the photographs. A lot of names aren't identified. There are a lot of really excellent group shots, but anonymous group shots. They all have some wonderful handwritten labels, kind of a tongue-in-cheek for some of them. And we're very excited to show that off. This includes some images of Fort McKinney, of buildings we've never seen before, kind of at its height before it started being decommissioned once the Indian Wars concluded.
And so that's been up for, what, about a month now?
It's been up since May, and it's going to be up. We're thinking we're going to keep it up another year, actually.
Okay.
Because of how well the response has been from the community. If you haven't had a chance to visit the museum to view that exhibit, our summer hours are currently running, which is Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sundays from 12 to 5 p.m.
Okay.
Adults are only $7. We have a retired military and senior discount at $5. If kids are five and under, they are free. If they're between the ages of 6 and 11, it's $3. And then our teen, which is from 12 to 18, is $5.
Okay.
But we are very proud that we are a Blue Star Museum, so any active military out there, them and their family gets in for free.
Oh, very cool.
It's kind of a respect and nod to their service, and we're very appreciative that we're part of that national program.
Absolutely. And while people are in the museum, they can check out your museum store as well. Talk a little bit about what they'll find there.
Yes, Kelsey has been doing a lot to add a lot of local and regional artists. We recently got a collection of jewelry in from Montana, some wonderful sterling silver necklaces in the shape of buffalo arrowheads. I mean, any Western museum worth their salt is going to have at least 2,000 to 3,000 pieces of arrowheads. So we're very excited about that. Moose and elk, some wonderful elk ivory jewelry, some made from tooths, some made from just pieces of the antler, with some wonderful natural stones in the settings. We recently have a new logo. So we're in the process of creating some specialized museum t-shirts that feature our logo, kind of as part of our rebranding and marketing strategy.
Now, did you have a logo previously?
We do, and it's the one that's currently on display in the big placard right in front of the cabin that you can see as you're driving down Fort Street.
Okay.
The problem is we thought it would be better to have a rebranding, especially with our the fact that are done remodeling after 15 years, the fact that we now have Johnson County Museum above our building. And it was just time. You know, every 5 to 10 years, we need to always do a strategic planning. And this was part of our strategic plan, was to kind of rebrand ourselves, make it more encompassing. Not that our old logo was bad, it was just very frontier heavy. It's got a shield, feathers, arrows, a lariat. You know, it's just very busy, and it doesn't quite encapsulate Jim Gatchell's mission of preserving history. It just so happened that his history happened to be frontier history, because he was there to hear the firsthand accounts from the participants in the Indian Wars in this area. But we're past the frontier era, and we're still collecting and preserving our local history and our regional history today. So we want it to be a little bit cleaner and crisper and more reflecting of Jim Gatchell's kind of essence of preservation.
And when is it you're looking to unveil the new logo?
Sometime in the next couple of months.
Okay.
It was a big part of the Gatchel Museum Association's plan. They were the kind of the movers and shakers and the implementers in the actual rebranding process. And I think we kind of want to do it similar to how we did the reaccreditation celebration in May. Make a big deal out of it.
Sure. Has it been drawn up yet? Has it been created?
I believe it has officially been approved.
Can you tell us who created it or no?
It was done by Flood Marketing.
Okay.
Out of Sheridan.
Oh, okay.
So we try really hard to stay local and
sure
utilize our community assets.
That's awesome. So we'll be looking forward to having you back on when we'll probably have you back on before that, but we'll also have you back on when you unveil that.
August 2nd, because that will be right before the cemetery tours. Right, one more push to get people interested in the program.
Certainly. All right. Anything else you want to chime in with that we missed here this morning before we wrap things up?
We just want to thank everyone who attended our Living History Day and our Buffalo Soldiers of the American West Wild West show. We had such a wonderful turnout. We had probably about 350 to 400 people who attended on Saturday's events at the museum. And then we had about 230 people for Sunday evening's event at the fairgrounds. So we just want to thank everyone for supporting the museum. You know, continue your vocal support, your monetary support. You know, we wouldn't be here without you. And we're just really appreciative of everyone who supports the museum.
All right. Talking with Jennifer Romanowski with the Gatchel Museum. Jennifer, thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you for having the museum.
This is Community Speaks, and it's brought to you by The Prescription Shop on Fort Street. Stop into The Prescription Shop, where they are more than just prescription medication. This is Community Speaks on KBBS.